All right, Luke 12. Luke 12 is, corresponds to Matthew 5 and 6, and it's sort of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's there's a little bit of difference, but not anything major. But anyway, in verse 22, we ended at 21. So he that is layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. And that is a strange, it's a strange word construction. But it's directly proportional. The more you're taking thought for your life, the less riches you'll have in God. It's dependent totally on your emptying. And that's why the mind of Christ is so important, a total emptying. The idea that he'll show us wondrous things out of his law, he shows us more and more of him as we decrease. And that's inexorable. And this is why you must always bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And that fruit is the emptiness and futility of your own mind, your thoughts, your emotions, and the whole world system. And once that emptiness then can be total, then you can grow in riches toward God. It's back again to the believer that's still in the world, to the wilderness, to the promised land, and finally on the mercy seat. And that's sort of the general, the walk is in many ways more subtle, more difficult, the farther you get into the emptiness, because it's the subtleties of the test that become, is there any reason you're putting your eyes on yourself? You are yours, for that matter. That's why I'm one of the reasons I think that we'll soon see the end, because it's the final cosmetic of the bride. You don't have to be saved to understand all of the stuff we talk about who the Antichrist is. Probably anybody that's, even though they use, it's not the Bible, the words that accept Jesus as their Savior, even if they use personal, more than likely they have a place in the body. But the subtlety of the test is the place where the place in the body is. So that's just my belief. It's not anything directly from God or anything. But all right. Anybody have any response to any of that?
Just this whole conversation ties into his humility and what happens so that you're able to have him revealed. If you're just all out self, it's like you're just building walls and coverings that the humbleness of God doesn't try to break down.
No, you have to see. We haven't talked for a long time about the walls of Jericho, and while Jericho is the city of fragrance, the city of thought, and it's the terrible thickness of the wall with skulls out facing, showing that. But that's your mind, and the mind has to be seen, because every man worships himself, his mind, from childhood. All men are wandering after the beast. And so that, the wall falls not because you're doing anything like shooting cannons at it or something. You're just in obedience. You just, because he cannot and will not occupy where you are. His humility is so great until the final thing when he stands up. Now will I arise. I just... All right. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, by with taking thought, can add want to a stature one cubit? And if you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So that's, we're going to spend some time, obviously, and even though we've spent a lot of time on it in the past. But to me, it's my experience and my own observation. This is the most difficult arena of discipleship there is. Take no thought. Anybody disagree? No thought is me ram now. Bayram now is the root word for our remember. Well, let's just review it again in Matthew 6 so we can see that there's at least two witnesses for this. What, Gary?
I'm thinking about just taking no thought. Where do you see it happening? Who do you see doing it? When does it manifest?
Well, that's what Harry constantly, because he and I had, this was the biggest thing that for him. And he didn't believe me that I didn't think. He couldn't imagine not thinking.
Kind of a big sentence. Because thinking is a broad term, and so it probably needs to be pulled down into smaller. I mean, you sit over there and do crossword puzzles. Do they just happen, or do you think about where that word is? I mean, it doesn't.
Well, I respond to whatever is in front of me.
Well, you have to think about the words. I mean, there's got to be a better explanation than that. We've heard that, but do you ever think about Bible study? Do you think about Mike? Do you think about Sandra? Do you think you pray?
But only in prayer. I don't sit and wonder about anything.
Yeah, the point
if
is,
anybody comes to mind, I take it as the Holy Spirit asking me to pray for them. I don't spend any time concerning them. About them, except that I don't sit and try to figure out the Bible. I do the word studies because I think it's necessary for us to have done this to try to get as close as we can to what the original message was. But I don't...
Yeah.
I mean, my God, I spent my life sitting around thinking, planning, and scheming. I mean, that's all I did. I was pretty good at it. So I saw the end of it, I saw the stupidity of it, and I quit.
Somewhere that's bringing forth fruit and necessary repentance is tied in with this whole thinking thing, because that's where the problem is. So it has to be the...
I mean, whatever you have and want to think about it with this whole position of that you're only the only thing that's worth giving any importance to or any breath to or worshiping or giving at all is something that Abraham found in the earliest beginnings. If it changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not worthy of giving any importance to. Well, I applied that to all the stuff I think about or was thinking about. And if it changes with time, place, or circumstance, then I have no more interest in it.
So that process brought forth fruit where repentance was the best thing.
Well, it was just the same as you've heard me say this many times too. You walk, if you take, go to the bathroom, you don't sit and play with it.
Yeah.
You walk away from it. Unless you're trying to gild your feces.
We don't need to explore that.
Look, I've got gold-plated feces.
I think the thing is, the platform is there a fundamental agreement? Period. You got to start there. You really, like you asked the question.
Fundamental agreement by whom?
Do you agree, by anybody listening, do you agree that thinking is the problem?
Well, I mean, if I had to wait until somebody agreed with me on any of these things, we'd still be back in verse one.
It's not agreeing with you; it's agreeing with this. It's
right.
The concept.
That's why I'm saying the people of Berea were commended because they searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul said was true.
Yeah.
I have no interest in having you agree with me, except from my point of view, it's for your sake.
Right. And if we don't agree, then we can't hear the next things that are happening is the way I see it. I mean, and that's why I don't like skipping over something this important.
Let's go to let's go to Isaiah 28. I think.
We were there last night.
Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkenness of Ephraim. The crown of pride is the fall, or the fruit of the fall. And the drunkenness of Ephraim is being drunk on your own self-seeking. That's the wine of Ephraim. Everybody agree with that? Understand it. Whose glorious beauty is a fading flower.
Now that's important, because it is glorious beauty in your personal senses. That's why you follow it and seek after it, right? Why else would it be so important?
Well, I thought that was obvious.
Well, it just needs to be pointed out, because otherwise why would people...
Well, let's skip. We're never going to get there. Let's go down to the question. Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. And whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Now that's, God is saying that must be the way. That he's saying you believe that must be the way. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Got that one?
Yeah.
For with stammering lips, remember the word stammering is the word mocking. For mocking lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Not speaking in tongues, but a position that man cannot see and understand with his mind. Got agreeing that?
Yeah, I can't imagine God stammering.
Well, it's mocking.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. What is this? This is the rest. Is the Sabbath, the day. And that day is a person, Jesus Christ. This is the rest. Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they still would not hear. But the word of the Lord was still unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. You don't take something from God by apprehending it with your mind. You take it by being apprehended, and that can only come in repentance. There's nothing that I, that any revelation of, that I have, none of it came from study. It came from emptiness. Now that's why I don't want to sit around and parse every word. We do it more than I would want to anyway. But the only way the understanding will fall, the fullness of the understanding, to the point where you no longer think it's necessary to think, is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. So you've seen God's making fun of everything you do. Anybody doubt that? He's mocking us. He's mocking the ridiculousness of our little pipsqueak activities. Great plans, ideas. Does anybody doubt that? You must know that by now. You've seen it in your own life. Then why would you think that your mind, you can use your mind to gain revelation? Because that's all you know. That's how you've learned everything. Well, I'm telling you, you don't learn God stuff by study. You learn God stuff by emptying, because there's no need that any man teach you. The fullness of everything is already within you. All I can do is be a witness to what you already know, that spark might engender the refreshing, as he talks about here. What? Understand? Agree? Go ahead, please.
Started when Gary asks about your statement that you don't think, and as irrational as that is, nearly insane, I have to say I've come to be more on your side of the table than I ever have been before. I think I understand it.
How old are you?
Well, don't go that far.
Amen.
When you talk of the mind all the time and you say you don't use it, you kind of, a notion, at least in my, it hits me like your mind is this matrix kind of thing that burrowed in your navel and occupies this space in you that is evil and is coercive. And for me, instead of considering the mind as a thing, I think of it as a function.
The difference is I think of it as a person.
I'm sorry?
I think of it as a person.
Well, I think of it as a function. We are human beings who struggle with death of people who are important to us. We struggle in our relationships. We struggle with issues of finances. We struggle with issues of all different kinds of things. And it's our mind that convinces us that we can't, that this is going to be unbearable, that we can't make it through these things. And I can speak to you of things that I have had to endure in my life that I didn't think I could bear, and here I am.
Amen.
So the mind that's telling me you can't do that is wrong.
Let me respond. I agree that the subconscious mind is a function. That was God's mercy at the fall. But the idea of consciousness is a person. It's, his name is sin.
I'm not that far yet.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm not asking you to be. I'm telling you that's what I see. That's what I see in the scriptures. That's what I see in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. The snake, it took the form of a snake as a metaphor for the evil one.
The natural function, the human function of our mind will cause us pain and suffering.
And separation and aloneness.
Please. We have to speak in such generalities it makes it difficult to have a conversation because it explodes and it leaks out into something else and we've lost the context of it. I'm speaking in generalities and I wish I didn't, but every time we start talking about those things, it loses the focus. At least it does for me. I don't have the capacity to do that. I have to be in one place. And I'm saying again that my mind causes me pain and suffering because it takes me places that
are not in the moment.
Not in the moment, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, round all that up, and you used to say to me, I don't think, and I say bullshit. But I'm starting to see maybe.
Well, you must. I mean, my God, the stupid things I do.
Those are pretty well documented.
What do and say? I mean, I just explode.
I'm not trying to ingratiate myself to you.
Yeah. You're justifying.
I'm just saying that in this particular argument or discussion, a while ago, I would have said just like Gary, that's insane. But something is creeping into into me that says maybe not so much.
Maybe not so much a little teeny bit. Well, that's fine. That's great.
Well, no, it isn't. It just is.
But my point is, even in your discussion of how you apprehend these things, and you can't take off on another tangent, is the evidence that you're still using this to try to understand this.
Then that's something I still have to work on.
I know.
Well,
that's why I keep pounding.
Well, and I certainly agree with the fact that all of us aren't going to be better Christians by begs the question, what do we do with you every morning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, what we're no longer interested in being Christians. We're interested in being disciples. I pray that's what we're here for. Discipleship requires exhortation one of another. It requires the preaching of the cross. It requires, he defined, the only place he really defined a disciple was, you are they that continue with me in my temptation. And his test. Well, his test has no home in human nature, because his test will always, your test will always be about your mind. His test is always about external. Trying to use what he is for a benefit, to benefit man. We must only be not my will, but thy will. Never my will. Never what I want. What I want is immaterial. No, you're doing it, Gary. This is wonderful.
Well, what you just said about his test, I think I struggle with that, because when some revelation comes and I see and understand, I can't even hardly enjoy it. I can only think about how can this be shared. And it's like, it sounds like that's what you just said, that his test was, how can I use this to help?
That's what the whole idea was. Let's look at his test. We've got to have another 5 minutes. Let's go to Luke 6. No, let's go to Matthew 17. No, Matthew 3. See, if I thought about it, I wouldn't have gone through all that crap. Chapter 4.
But one other thing. When I said that your mind takes you to places that you don't think you can endure or you can't handle, and for whatever reason what's important is that you come out of it differently. You come out of that better. You come out of that clearer. Better's not the right adjective.
You see clearly.
There's something that happens having gone through those things, those sufferings for losing someone who's important to you or whatever it is that you think you can't endure. When you cross the threshold and you come out the other side, you're not the same, and you're better.
You see clearer. I don't ever want to say I'm better.
Well, better's not the right word again. I say that, but there is a transformation that occurs at that point, and you can if you have integrity, you can.
Something will be seen.
Something will be seen, and the next time it shows itself, you can say, I don't want to do that anymore.
Amen. Now, one of the most weird things in the universe that John the Baptist thought was just unspeakably weird was to have Jesus baptized. John wasn't going to do it. But if he hadn't been baptized, then we couldn't have been except him as a role model. He was not just baptized, then he walked as we should walk from the time of our baptism to the time of our death, having no consciousness of self. That's the whole mystery of baptism of Jesus, and it must be our baptism. It's the baptism of repentance. Now, how could Jesus have a baptism of repentance? He had to be baptized as Son of Man in that repentance. That's why the Trinity has to be.
But did he not, saying he having no consciousness of self, didn't he put aside consciousness of self? Because
well, he could have had consciousness of self, but he abandoned it.
Right. So he put it aside because, I mean, consciousness of self, it makes us different from a cat, you know. Well, and so we are constantly putting it aside and emptying and seeing only
that's
Christ
fine.
Or God or
but that's why he said in verse 15 of chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so, because he wasn't going to be baptized. For this becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't need to be baptized to fulfill righteousness. He needed to be baptized so that we could see the meaning of baptism, his death, which was to be accomplished exactly 42 months from that day. Now, that's why I keep saying that these things are assumed in the scriptures, that your baptism is the death of your mind. And that you walk in emptiness with the mind of Christ. That's what the scriptures assume. So let's stop there and we'll continue on this, because this is really, really, really important. That's why I'll spend enough time so that at least, and if you say, well, I can't live like that, then I say to you, that's fine. That's a great breakthrough. But confess that that might not be true. That might not be the way to live. I couldn't conceive of living without thinking. It's beyond any ridiculousness that I've ever... It's beyond insanity. Take a big guy.